Hey, everybody, thanks for downloading the show. Before it officially begins, I just wanted to put some plugs into the start of the show, because I know you have to listen to the start in order to get to the actual show. Anyways, this upcoming Tuesday, September 18th, I'll be hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois. Guests include the Paper Machetes, Christopher Piet, Everything is Terrible Founders, talking about the Reptilian Agenda. It'll make sense once you actually show up. Comedian Maddie Ryan and musician Angela James. That's on Tuesday, September 18th at the Hungry Brain. At that show at the Hungry Brain, I will be giving away sets of tickets to Brilliant Corners of Popular Amusement. It's a music festival. It's an arts festival in 2 weekends coming up in Chicago. It's September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Friday's headliners are Zola Jesus and John Cale. Saturday's headliners are Van Dyke's Park and Connor Oberst. And Sunday's headliner is Bobby Womack. So that's a really cool festival. After the shows on Friday and Saturday night, there will be late-night comedy shows, and we are part of that. On Friday night, I will be hosting a show with performances by James Fritz, the Putterboss Sisters, and Seton Smith. That will be a very fun show. That show's free. It's at 10 p.m. It's all ages. It's free. It's after John Cale and Zola Jesus. Friday, September 21st. September 22nd, Brian Babylon from Vocalo's The Morning Amp will be hosting that show featuring performances by Megan Gailey, Drew Michael, and H. John Benjamin. Once again, free shows. You should go to those. So that's on September 18th, Hungry Brain, September 21st at the Riverfront Theater as part of Brilliant Corners of Popular Amusement Festival. That's future plugs, past/current plugs. This show was recorded on Friday, September 7th at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. It's a fun show. Please listen. You already downloaded it, so you're probably going to listen to it, hopefully. 2 days later, so that's 2 days ago, we did a show at the Kennedy Center for Huffington Post, my employer, and I got to host that show, and that show is currently available to watch online. I host the show. Jen Tisdale performs stand-up comedy. S.M. Schrake performs a story. Jody Lynn Anderson reads from her New York Times best-selling book. Mab sits on glass, lays on glass. Just watch the show. And Janelle and Anthony play music. Ian Walters of the house band. Watch that. That's available at youmethemeverybody.com. There's a new website. Youmethemeverybody.com is new. It looks new. Charlie Dietz did it. It looks fantastic. Go to that. That's a lot of plugs at the top of the show. Pretty much just go to the website. It's all there. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a thing like a talk show. That was the slowest possible music for you guys to have played me on. Here's all slow. Play something quicker. Do you got anything quicker? You're called Chris Rock, Scott. There we go. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. Stop playing the music. Chris Rock's, everybody. Professional shows from professional people. Thank you, everybody. Hey, man, what's up? This guy's married. This guy's married and he's wearing shorts. That's the world we live in. I don't understand this world sometimes. You know, I just get confused. The only thing I understand about this world, I'll do the football one, is I'm ready for football. That's all. I'm a bro. All right. When it comes down to being a bro, it's me and then Hank Williams Jr. and then Hank Williams III. Those are the three biggest bros in the world in said order. I am the best. Football's the coolest. Because I don't play football anymore. I used to play football. I was really middling to good at football. I played football all of my younger days. You know, I didn't play high school football, so I didn't have sex with women that didn't know I was having sex with them. Because it's not really a rape if you have a helmet at home. So I played Pop Warner football. Pop Warner football is similar to high school football. There's still an overweight man with a windbreaker yelling at you to do laps. And you still play Smear the Queer. There's just as many racist and homophobic things said about you. But in the huddle, instead of talking about, what kegger are we going to, we talk about things like, who are we going to finger at Great America? And there's always someone to... Ladies and gentlemen, if there's one thing you ever learn from this talk show, it's this. If you're a preteen and you want to finger anything, anyone, male or female, fingers aren't biased in that way. Six Flags. Go to Six Flags and go wherever the sailors are hanging out. It usually smells like burnt waffles. There's so many things. So I played football. I was okay. I played the line. I was an offensive lineman. That's where you put the untalented and or fat kids. And I wasn't fat enough to warrant being an offensive lineman. I was just I didn't have enough confidence to say, I'm better than this. I just fucking did it. I don't have a dad. We'll get to that later. So I went to another team. I went. That was in the Lombard Falcons. The cool part about being a Falcon was our logo was purple. That's cool. I went to become a Westchester Charger the following year. The following 3 years, I was the starting quarterback for the Westchester Chargers. Why was I the starting quarterback? I have a sweet arm. I could throw a football at least 50 yards any day, any time. Let's have a football throwing contest right now. 50 yards, that's not even half the field. It's Pop Warner. I was like the John Elway. That's a football. I was a good football player, podcast listeners. None of you enjoy football. I understand it. Yet I keep doing sports monologues. Anyways, moving on. I played for 3 years, and I really did enjoy it. I enjoyed the actual game. I enjoyed my coach. I enjoyed learning the plays. I enjoyed running the field. I was the general. Okay, for you kids at home, generals are the people in the military that get paid not to die. That's how important I was to that football team. But I still didn't enjoy it because, you know, like, I still hated everyone that had a dad, which was like 90% of the kids. I know it's different now. Things have changed. Isn't it crazy, America? I blame Obama. Moving on. Girls are better than football. So I quit the footballs and I played the soccers. Played multiple games of soccer because that's what the girls played. And then I heard Nirvana, so I quit all sports and played in bands. And then I had sex with people and they were awake. And it was the best. And I kept that tradition alive. It's been going strong. Yes, we can in Romney's America 2012. Let's get him in office, guys. Okay. College, played in more bands, sucked up more stages. It was the best. I call it the prequel to this. And then I got back into football once I was out of college because I realized, like, I really do enjoy watching people become retarded and rich at the exact same time. And that's the only sport where you can see someone slowly die on a television every year. Brian Urlacher, here's why. Thank you, guys. You know what? These guys are with me. We believe that Mitt Romney could take back that White House and make it white again. Okay, so... Years. Wait, no, opposite. Four new years. Whiter years. Whiter years. Okay, so. So Brian Urlacher, he's the starting linebacker for the Chicago Bears. He's the coolest. Here's why. Brian Urlacher played safety at the University of Nevada. Is that correct? I think it was Nevada. I know. He was so quick and talented, he played safety. Got drafted by the Bears. They moved him to linebacker. He's one of the fastest linebackers in the game. He's been playing for almost 10 years. When he started playing as a Chicago Bear, he had a fiance. They got married. They had two beautiful, lovely children. About 4 years into his playing career, he left them to fuck Paris Hilton. This is true. He didn't tell her that. She found out because Paris Hilton was in a box at Monday Night Football. A box is where the rich people sit, and I said it with Paris. Never mind. So that he's a good man, and then he went on to have sex with strippers and get them pregnant. And give it up for Brian Urlacher. He's a father of three. Thank you, guys. Kept playing that game that we like to call American football because Europe sucks my dicks. Multiple dicks. I have multiple dicks. And he got in trouble with the stripper mom. Why? Because he kept painting his son's toenails the colors of the Chicago Bears. Because that's what linebackers do. Anyways, that's a quick aside. Quick aside. Football's the best. Here's five reasons why football's the best. Number one, brew. Who likes light beer? I do. I love light beer. I wake up, drink Miller Lite. Which one hates the gays? Is it Miller Lite or Bud Light?
Coles.
Both? Coles? Is it Coles?
Coors.
Coors hates the gays. Which one likes the gays?
O'Doul's.
Bud Light? O'Doul's. I wake up, I just pound light O'Doul's nonstop. Yeah. Drunk, buzzed permanently.
O'Doul's.
Number one, that makes me cool. O'Doul's. I pound O'Doul's all night long watching them sweet ball games. I had four more reasons, but I can't remember any of them. Here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. For the next 4 months, regardless of what happens in the quote-unquote real world, I don't live in Obama's America, so I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. But in my super sweet future, super white Mormon sweet dick world, the Romney America, it's just two things, ladies and gentlemen. It's just two things that get me up in the morning, get me pumped. But I don't come because that's against God. I just pump it and wait. You know, I get in the pocket. That's a football term, kids at home. It's called a pocket. This is two steps back into the pocket. They have these things called running backs, you know. They're usually not as talented as the quarterbacks because they're dummies. They go, block, and they block you. It's called a pocket. Anyways, in my sweet future, pumping but not coming America, Romney USA, okay, there's two things in life that matter. It's the Chicago Bears. I'm from Chicago. I like the Bears. That's why I say that. There's two things that matter, that and this talk show. Now, I'll never be a Chicago Bear. I can't. I'm not physically capable of being a professional football player, and I'm okay with that. But I want to have a talk show on the TV, and I want to bring in all former Chicago Bears players and then slowly quiz them on things like geography and basic arithmetic to prove to the world once and for all that every single person that plays professional football is retarded. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very fun show for you this evening. We have someone that's an author who's very talented. I'm in the midst of reading her book. Her name is Amber Sparks. We have comedy from Motti Litwick, and we have music from Jason Mendelsohn. Chris Rocks, take it away. Chris Rocks, everybody. Chris Rocks playing all of our favorite jock jams of the evening. Co-host Jen Tisdale, how are you?
I'm really good.
Why are you really good?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to make you feel not good.
I'm not. I do that on my own. I don't need outside help.
Sorry.
I'm good on that.
What's going on in your life,
hey,
Jen?
I did some. I was at my crazy best this week. Like, you know how when you're crazy but you're like good at being crazy. And then you're at your best.
Keep going.
That's where I was this week. I think I passed my crazy best. I think I set a new record for me.
What did you do?
Well, last weekend I went to a performance art anything, which is everybody's crazy best, right?
Like, you went to Vestibule.
Performance. I went to Taint.
That's the name of the show you went to.
It's called Taint. I don't know where I think I know where the Taint is, but that wasn't the point. The focus of the show was not this thing that I loved, but the thing that was happening was a huge papier-mâché head of Gandhi. And obviously the joke was, is that a piñata? There's not going to be any food in there. Anyway.
Was it a piñata?
It was, because here's what happened at the end of the night. They gave you a crowbar.
That sounds fun.
And you got to beat the shit out of it. But then I went to a place where I was screaming about, because I don't have a dad either. I mean, I do, but I don't know him. So he's out there, obviously, somewhere. He might be Brandon's dad. We don't know. We'll take a test maybe someday on the show.
No, we won't.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be Scantron. But
that was funny.
Just enter B. And so then I beat the shit out of
Gandhi. That's safe sex. You just enter B every time?
Yeah, just B, B, B. And I beat the shit out of Gandhi, and I screamed about my dad. And that
Did
was...
Did you really?
I was not...
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Get over it. Holy shit.
You just
seriously?
Said no dad like 3 times in your monologue.
Yeah, but because that was the football thing, because I was proving like I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm well, good
was,
at football.
I was working
And I didn't
out.
Have a dad. That's
I was,
all.
I was blaming... I was transferring my anger to Gandhi.
I wasn't at a party. I wasn't throwing the football
game. It wasn't a party.
Fuck you, dad. I'm going to get a touch. Touchdown. No, I just threw the ball and I got touchdowns.
Wait, it wasn't a party, so it was accepted by the other people.
Wait. It was a show.
It was part of the show.
Were you a billed performer at
no,
the show?
No, I just...
Then it's a party.
I became a performer. And,
That's
and,
fair.
And I worked some shit out.
That's nice.
And then you should have seen the end of Gandhi. It was like probably way worse than the actual end of Gandhi. It was awful. It was awful. I'd do it again in a minute.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So it was a good weekend.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think so. I think everyone here can agree on that, right, team?
Nope, that's not everyone. No one in here.
You guys must know your dads. One clap.
Well, that's fun.
That was great. That was great that I did that. And then last night...
What did you do last night?
I went and did some comedy in Baltimore, and it went well. And then I hung out with a person who I don't really like anymore, and he was being mean to me, and I was a little drunk. So what I did was... And here's crazy best number two. I poured an entire gallon of a beverage onto his bed. Like, I was, like, so mad at him. I was like, I'll show you bed wedding... And then I stole his BlackBerry.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it's in the car. So...
Give out the number.
I don't know the BlackBerry number off the top of my head, but his other number is really...
Yeah.
2.
1552, everybody.
He
that's the number of the evening. Those are our quick pick
call
numbers.
That's your request. We're going to request-o-ram it. Request-o-ramming it. Please call him. He likes it when you hang up when he answers, and I speak from experience.
Why are you hanging out with this person?
Because I needed to crash somewhere, because I'm a good person now, and he was a person I knew there.
Oh, in Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore.
All right.
And then he was annoying, and I was like, ugh, I need to get rid of this beverage on your bed.
Wait, he was just being annoying?
He was being mean.
Oh, okay.
To me.
What did he do? Do you not want to talk about that?
I don't want to talk about the mean things he was saying, because they are patently untrue, except for the part where I guess I'm crazy. That part seems to be true.
What beverage did you pour on his bed?
It was red, a red liquid. I thought that was the best color to go with.
That's a true story.
That was last week and last night. Crazy Best. It's my new comedy album.
How's crazy spelled?
Oh, C-R-A-Z-E-E.
Ooh, it's a different
one. Or the other option is for my comedy album, Majestic as Fuck.
I like the first one better.
Really? You don't like Majestic?
I don't like Majestic
because I'm like Majestic. Okay. Well, you're right. I'm crazier, more crazy than Majestic, I think. So.
Well, what does that mean? Why?
It's a thing that was on a thing describing some like stars. Someone said they're majestic as fuck, and I thought, that's funny. I think that's majestic as fuck.
Our first guest of the evening is also majestic as fuck.
Segue.
Put that on your book.
It's called a segue in the biz.
Yeah. Jenna, did you finish the book?
Yeah, I did. I read the whole thing.
Good. I'm not done with it. I'm sorry. I'm halfway through. I'm enjoying it. Ladies
see
Jones.
My vagina? Are you guys pointing at my vagina?
No.
Are you worried about my drink? Oh, they were gesturing. I was like, uh-oh, snap.
Audio podcast.
I just said they're gesturing towards me.
Oh, thank you.
I was worried it was a snatch attack.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very talented author, Amber Sparks, everybody. Amber, the stage is yours. Hi, Amber. How are you?
Oh, Amber,
you need
mic?
This.
I do need this.
Yeah, here, you could use the table.
Look at you have a giant beer stein.
I know.
She's a real writer. She's a published
Shouldn't
author.
Shouldn't that
be absent? True. These are the only things I care about, books and beer.
Okay, so Amber, I know you because of, I think Jacob Nab from Chicago recommended that you read at one of my shows like 18 months ago. You did that. You were very good. And then he told me that he's putting out your book.
Yes.
That's neat.
I didn't know that Jacob was originally the person who hooked us up. That's
I think
cool.
so. I don't really
I had
know.
No idea.
I don't really care either. Not because I ask people I trust and respect, like who's good. I found out a lot of storytellers via this guy called S.M. Strake, who I think you also know. And I found out about a lot of authors in this area because of you. You're one of those authors, and now you have a book.
I do.
Is this your first book?
This is my first book.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Look at it.
It's very nice.
It's real.
Pretty. It is real.
It's like the bell jar.
Yeah.
Although I did draw some comparisons to one story I was thinking about the main character. But go ahead. We'll get
Well,
to
let's
that
talk about the book really awesome. Quick. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is May We Shed These Human Bodies.
Okay, so it's not... So why is it called that?
It's the title... It's one of the title stories.
One of the stories.
The title
I loved
of
that
one,
one
of the stories.
I loved that one.
Which is...
Apparently Jen loved that one.
Which is about, it's sort of an origin story based on Norse mythology about how originally human beings came from trees.
I'm just going to, okay, I'm just trying to prove that I read it.
We believe you. I was blatant. Yeah. I have not gotten that far. I'm about on page 45 right now. I enjoyed the first one, Death and the People.
Oh, I love that one too. I have notes. I forgot to bring them.
So you don't have notes is what you're saying. I got really, professionally dickish to you, like a mid-level college professor at a community college. Where are your notes? Oh, you didn't do them.
I know, but I wrote them down so I remember them because I wrote them down. It wasn't like I had somebody write them for me from their brain.
But you don't have those notes on you.
But I remember what I said and thought.
But you just said you don't remember.
I said I don't have my book. Let's go. You go ahead, sweetheart.
Why did you want to be a writer?
I had no choice.
Yes, you did. Why did you... What made you want to be a writer? How about that?
Honestly, because I'm really judgmental.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, I can get behind that.
I think most people become writers because they're really judgmental.
Then why not be like a stand-up?
I'm not funny enough.
No, there were some funny moments. There were some funny moments in the book.
So this book is an origin of malice, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Like shit happens during the middle. Oh wait, can I swear on this?
Oh fuck, cunt, yeah. Whatever.
Fucking
go nuts.
Crazy.
So shit happens during the middle of the day, and you're all over, and I judge people all day long.
Okay.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I have to process that. I have to put it somewhere, so.
And you put it into words that you want other people to read.
Exactly.
So what you're doing is spreading hate through pamphlets.
Basically, yes.
That's nice.
Cool.
I like that. Tom Paine, but the opposite.
Good reference.
Instead of freedom,
good
it's hate.
Good reference.
Where are you from, Amber?
Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Minnesota.
Which one?
The Midwest.
The Midwest, okay. Why are you
all
in D.C.?
For politics.
Seriously?
Do they do that here now?
What's your day job?
I've heard. I work for a labor union.
So what do you think of my favorite presidential candidate, Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney's great.
Isn't
he?
He's the best.
We love him.
Good.
Yeah.
He's good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why is Obama so bad? Go.
Let's see.
You mean bro-Obama?
Yeah, yeah. Why?
Socialism.
Yeah.
Muslimism.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any stories in this book about Muslimism?
Socialist Muslimism, yes.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Lots of stories about that.
Okay. Are you interested in, like, labor stuff, or are you like, it's just a job?
Yeah. No. That's my whole thing, working people. That's where I come from.
You think your whole thing should be writing.
Yeah, that should,
after
that's
reading
writing
your book,
about working people.
No. Just give up on the labor union thing.
Yeah, they're going to, listen.
They don't need you.
We don't need them. We just need tabernacles. What do you think of tabernacles?
Like
the choirs?
Yeah.
Boom. Jinx.
I have
buy me a Coke
no
or some
about
Coke.
The tavern. Is that like the young boys, like the castrati?
Yeah. What do you think of young boys?
We're taking this to a weird
They're
place.
They're great.
I want to talk about specific stories that I like. Please. I drew some parallels.
Did you like the death one because of the cocaine?
Amber, that part wasn't
so
for the podcast.
So transparent, that Tisdale. Oh, callback.
I actually thought about that.
I will say there was a couple stories that had some things, and I don't think it was intentional. There was some identity crisis issues in a couple of the stories. A couple of the characters who it seemed like they were women and they were supposed to be men. That happened a couple times, or their parents wanted them to be men, or they wished that they were boys. And I'm not saying, did your parents wish that you were a boy? We're not going to do that thing where
let's ask her. Do your parents wish you were a boy?
I found it interesting because that's not something you'd find in not at least two of the stories that I read.
Well, I was actually named Adam before I came out. And
so they were expecting a boy.
They were expecting a boy.
Really?
My dad said,
and you were like, ta-da, spirit fingers, right on out.
Exactly. But I wasn't, like, raised as a, you know, boy or anything like that.
What do your parents think of this?
Of the book?
Yeah.
They haven't read it yet.
Are you going to give it to them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who did you dedicate it to? Because I don't remember if that was in the advanced copy.
I actually dedicated it to my my cat.
Yes! Wait, did you say your cat?
For Loki.
Oh,
shit.
Last year.
Right here. Bring it in. Right here. God
he
damn it.
He was 10,
God
and he was awesome.
It.
And he was our best friend.
When did
you.
He pass?
Fuck.
Last October.
Have you gotten a new cat since then?
No.
We did.
What?
What's the name of your new cat?
We have two cats.
Oh, you have two cats. That's a better idea than to have one cat. Now they have playmates.
Exactly.
They'll live longer with the friends.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's how it works with old people.
We have Ilsa and Vesta.
Cute.
Like
Vesta Rose from the ill-fated Roseanne Barr film. She-Devil?
That is an amazing reference.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I watch a lot of TV.
But we love Roseanne. I love Roseanne.
No, her name was Vesta Rose. I hate myself so much right now. I am never getting laid. Go ahead.
Also a Greek goddess, but yes.
No,
also
it's
Roseanne,
Roseanne
Barr.
Character from a Meryl Streep film.
You don't like that one
either
better?
Way.
Just start saying that from now on. You have my permission. It's not patent pending.
I now write every day for a living. And since I've started to do that, I feel like I haven't been creative in the least. The monologue of
mostly
the show.
Mostly because I'm G-chatting with you all day
true.
Long and you're
but
trying
But the monologue
to...
of the show is like proof of that. How do you do this and have a full-time job?
That's a good question.
Do you have like a set structure for writing?
Yeah, I mean, I write on the weekends. I write at night. I write during work sometimes.
So what you're doing often. Is you're putting your art above the lives of the working man.
No, I'd say it's, you know, on par with the lives of the working man. Yes.
I do...
I just remembered the story I liked the most.
What story did
when
you like the most?
When the weather changes you.
Oh, good. Oh, I like that one.
Why did you like that story?
It was so... Well, first of all, I'm kind of a loner myself, Dottie. Not to quote Pee Wee Herman from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, but I will. And it's just this idea that, you know, I that this idea that you... that you want solitude as a genetic thing. You're genetically predisposed to wanting to be alone, and not the main character, but her sister is trying to rail against that. And that's something that I've done myself with things that I know that I'm genetically predisposed to, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna be normal, and it's such a battle you don't have to fight, and the main character just goes, just accepts it, it's just the acceptance. And I really, that's, in the words of a pretentious douchebag, that spoke to me. I mean, there's no other way of saying it without sounding kind of like it did, but that's what I liked. I mean, I spend a great deal of time by myself. I'm an only child, but I did appreciate the fact that the main character was accepting of this, and the sister was just like, no, this next one's going to work out, and it never does when you fight.
Is that weird that people, like, read your stuff now? And, like, there's, like, a thing that they could reference, and now you just sit back and take their interpretation?
A little bit.
Is it good or bad or weird?
It's good. It's good.
Can we have, like, an honest discourse about that particular story? Is it, like, another time we should do that off camera?
Is that you?
Oh, no, that's absolutely me. I mean, not the, you know, I'm not, like, sitting in my bedroom all alone all the time. But, I'm definitely a huge misanthrope. Who also likes people, which is weird.
So you like people.
Right. But I also hate them. I like them in the abstract.
No. Why
I like
you...
the idea of people.
You know what? Loneliness is good when it's your choice. It's not good when it's thrust upon you. That's what I've noticed. When I choose to be alone, it's a wonderful thing. When I have no option, it's awful.
Exactly.
This is like the exact opposite of my football monologue.
Okay.
Amber, did you ever play Pop Warner football?
I never played football.
Do you like football?
I hate football.
Why do you hate good things?
I don't know.
What?
I'm sorry.
You've never enjoyed a game?
Never.
Have you ever sat through a game? NFL, not college. That's
yes,
stupid.
Yes, I have.
What game? Do you remember the game?
Because I grew up in Wisconsin and Minnesota, so Packers games, Vikings games.
Do you want to? Will you watch a game with me?
No.
Why?
Because I hate football.
But this is what we'll do. We'll drink light beer.
Sounds awful.
We'll eat. You're drinking beer now.
This is IPA.
Water it down. two light beers equal one of those. You just drink all day. We'll eat wings. You like wings?
Hate wings.
How about Wings, the TV show starring Steve
we'll watch.
Starring Tim Daly?
Yeah, that was a great show.
How about this?
Who was at the Democratic
Reruns
Convention?
On USA.
We watch the show Wings, and I eat football. That doesn't make sense. Okay, so...
That sounds good.
Wait, why don't you eat wings while watching Wings and then Inception and then Leonardo DiCaprio comes over.
And then we watch the Bears-Vikings
game. And you figure
game.
Out what the fuck is eating Gilbert Grape. It's wings.
That's fine. I'm down with that.
What do you hope to achieve with the book? It's a collection of short stories. It's about to come out in a few weeks. You're going on a little book tour. I'm sorry you said little, but like you're doing the Midwest first, and then you're doing East Coast. So it's not like this 1-3-month behemoth tour.
Yeah,
it's smaller chunks. What do you hope to achieve with this?
I have no idea.
Selling books. Is
I want to sell books and have people. I mean, I don't expect to make any money, but, you know.
So, like, would you rather have someone buy your book and give you money or give you some sweet box seats to watch, like, a cool football game?
No.
How much money?
Like $10 or, like, a $500 ticket. All the light beer you could drink.
That you could resell.
Would I be able to sell the football?
Resell that ticket.
You get paid in drugs as well.
Oh, hold on.
If I went to the football game, I'd also get paid in drugs.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that.
The answer is football. Football's the best, Amber.
I do want to say, I don't want to be like girl that's like, let's keep making it serious. But as I was reading them.
But I'm going to do that.
As I was reading them, I hate when people are like, you know who you sound like? Or you know who you remind me of?
Who does she sound like?
Well, it reminded me of either, like, if this were something on the TV, it would be like a Twilight Zone, or almost like a Brothers Grimm. Like, every story had a lesson you could learn, and a lot of it was really dark, because the original Brothers Grimm stories were very dark and twisted, and a lot of these stories are very, very dark, but there's a lesson to be learned in them. That's what I got out of reading this book. I think that everyone here should buy this book. I really enjoyed it.
It's good.
Thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Actually, I just got a Publisher's Weekly review, and that's what they said. So you are
they
wise.
Seriously? They compared? There you go, Jen. That's good for both of you.
They said,
you're like,
they said,
Jen, you can do something with your life. Yay! That's it.
What did they say?
They said Brothers Grimm. It's like a, you know, dark moral lesson. Tim Burton, which I was,
not Tim Burton.
I was
too busy
with,
having like a twosome with Johnny Depp. No.
Right. But everything else was great. Right on.
Sorry, quick aside. Jen, do you refer to sex as twosomes?
Only, I think it's funnier that way.
Just,
can I tell you why? This stems from a joke I'm working on, so now I'm
just
like,
say it.
All right, do you guys probably don't watch TLC because there's no learning on that channel anymore, but they have a show called Abby and Brittany, and it's about these conjoined twins, and they just have two heads, and they're like 22. So it's not like, oh, they literally just have two heads. And the joke is, every time they have sex, it's a threesome. Like, literally every time. And so their thing is they don't want a threesome. Now they're just dying for, like, a twosome. The end. That's the joke. Thank you.
Sort of
fuck
tragic.
You guys. That's a great joke.
Well, Jen, you said, like, the nicest things about Amber's book and then followed up with that. So that's what people
and
will take.
And that's what you want to focus on, Brandon?
That's what people are going to take
home
from this.
I'm going to go out.
But there are a lot of freaks in the book. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There are freaks. So, I mean, not that I'm saying that conjoined twins are freaks.
No, they're freaks. It's weird. It's definitely weird.
They're just
you guys,
like you and me.
When they talk, they say it simultaneously. It's fucking weird. You got to watch it. It's so.
What are we here to plug? The TLC show or her
you
book?
Talked about football for like an hour.
Yeah, because I plug football. Football's the best.
I'm plugging TLC. I talked about the book.
What's better, the book or the TV show about the conjoined twins?
Are you asking me?
I'm making eye contact with you,
the
yes.
Book. The book was better.
What's better, football or the book?
The book is better.
Bullshit! The book is not as good as football. You could enjoy that book maximum 8 hours.
What if the rest of the book was about football?
I would like it more.
It might be.
No, it's not.
You should read the whole thing.
I'm midway through it. I'm reading yours.
You're not.
Do you know Jodie Lynn Anderson?
Yeah.
We're doing a show with her on Sunday, so I'm like reading them both.
Oh, I'm awesome. Like, we are?
And
I'm going
between books, and like I can't. Who's I'm like trying Anderson? To figure out like what should I read? I'm like, fuck it, I'll just read half of both. I'm just trying to read as much as possible. I'm sorry, I'll finish it. I promise. I'm enjoying it immensely. It's the first book I've ever read.
Period. It's the first book he's ever read. Clap it up for that.
It's the first book I've read of a guest on the show that I'm reading on my Kindle. So it's really weird because like I'm like I can't take notes on it or
it sucks that you have
weird.
A Kindle.
It's interesting.
Anything that costs under $200, I'm almost 30. No. If I can't afford a Kindle, that's sad and weird.
No offense,
okay?
Environment, but books are amazing and Kindles are fucking awful.
No, they're not. That doesn't make any
nope.
sense.
Books,
I read more than ever on a Kindle.
Books smell delicious. Well, that's because you're lazy. Books smell delicious.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Those are the same words.
I hate you so much right now. Anyway,
what are your
Amber,
thoughts on a Kindle?
I'm just going to pat your back.
See, there you go.
I have
both
Kindle
is the best.
And I have books.
You know what? I'm gonna. You know that John Waters quote? If you go home with somebody and he doesn't have any books on his bookshelf, don't fuck him.
Well, yeah.
And if you have a Kindle, guess what? There are no books on your bookshelf, and you're never getting laid. So buy books. Trees.
Sex whenever
don't
I want.
Care.
What are you talking about? All I do is fuck and come. It's the best. I played football, Jen. Didn't you hear the monologue? Nonstop. You know what? I want to thank you so much for coming on this show, Amber.
I really like it.
I think we sold a lot of books, number one.
I really enjoyed it. I'm
enjoying the book immensely.
I obviously read it. Obviously.
Yeah, no, thank you.
If I didn't read it at all, I would say, tell me about the book. What's in the book? I haven't read the book because I say it.
Okay.
And then I spray it. That's an Eminem lyric, right? I'm quoting Eminem right now. What are your thoughts on Eminem?
Listen, love Eminem, Marshall Mathers. It's fabulous.
So, where are you going to be? You're touring soon. You're going to be in Chicago on the 22nd.
Yep.
Keep going. Book release
on the 22nd, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, Minneapolis. And then I'll be out in New York in December.
All of East Coast.
The East Coast in November and December. Actually, in D.C., I'll be at the Big Hunt in November.
That's right around the corner from my office. Or as I call
awesome.
It, the Big Cunt, obviously. But in a loving...
Everyone calls it that.
In a loving... Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They keep all the fratty types out. They corral them in the other room. Not that if you're in a frat, you're not an awesome person.
Listen,
I
pledged in all the frats, and I was the head of all them. So I take offense to everything you just said.
So I hate football and frats. But basically, that's
listen,
you.
Look at me.
Wait
this,
a minute.
This
do
is
you,
what a man looks
do you
like.
Hate,
deal with it.
Do you
you
hate,
know, your little reign of Obama is about to be over. That's all I'm saying. Okay. People can find the book where?
They can find it either on... The publisher is Curbside Splendor.
Ooh.
So you can find it on their site. You can also find it on Amazon, Powell's, BarnesandNoble.com.
Wait, stop. Which one do you get paid the most? Like, how do you get the most money?
If you go direct to the publisher, that's
okay,
how
everybody
I get paid the most.
Direct to the publisher.
So that's how we'll link it.
Yes.
And all those dates are available where?
They're on my website, actually. It's... AmberNoelSparks.com.
Fuck Kindle.
I'll link it. No one's going to remember that. Okay, we got the
you
book
remember
back.
That.
We got the book back. I ordered another one. We're going to end this interview.
Good. Yay.
with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Yeah. I wish I wrote that.
A truly awful book. I need you to pick a number between 1 and 266.
265.
265.
Excellent. I approve of that.
As everyone knows, we retire the questions from the book so you get a little memento. 265. Wow. What's the funniest story you ever made up about why you weren't able to get your homework finished on time? Did anyone actually believe you? That's the question.
That's a good question.
Is it?
Okay. No, it is. I made up a lot of stories. I'm just trying to think of if any of them were funny or interesting.
I once said
not that, your question.
Okay.
Oh, abuse. I think that was what it was.
Did you say abuse? You were beaten to the point where you couldn't finish your homework. God, that's a good one.
I said that my brother pushed me against a trunk and I was knocked unconscious.
Good one.
We didn't even own a trunk. I don't know where that came from.
Did you get in trouble? Did they believe you?
No, they believed me. They were really concerned.
If you're saying you're a big Obama supporter, you're going to lie all the time and you're going to hate football. That's what you're saying.
That is basically the gist of it, yes.
That's actually perfect.
And drink craft beer.
Yep.
At the Big Hunt?
Yes. At the Big Hunt.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and buy her book. Amber Sparks, her book. Everybody. Thank you, Amber. Very good. Seriously, buy the book. It's good. I'm enjoying it. Oh, here's the thing I didn't mention during the interview. It looks good, too. Whoever did the design or whatever should... did you do the design?
Oh, no.
Somebody else? Almond Fisher? No one's going to remember that. I'm going to cut it out of the podcast, too. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage is a very funny man. He was actually on our last talk show. He killed. And you'll notice that show isn't in the podcast stream because the Wonderland Ballroom board shit out. So he's back! He's back with a vengeance, and he's beardless. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for a man that dresses like a man. Marty Litwack, everybody. Marty.
Thank you. I apologize for the Ghostbusters shirt. I just came from work. No, I'm pretty overeducated for a comedian because I have a GED. And it's fun to tell people when you have a GED because it makes them uncomfortable. They're always like, hey, where did you graduate high school? And I say, oh, I didn't. I have a GED. And then they're like, oh, okay. Well, good for you. And I can tell they're judging me. So I try to explain. It was like extenuating circumstances. I had to drop out last minute. It was just a one-time thing. But all they hear me saying is drugs, drugs, drugs. I did so much drugs and got a GED. And then sometimes they're brave enough to ask a follow-up question where they're like, what did you do after that? And I say, oh, I went to community college. And they're like, that is consistent with the GED. Good for you. You make sense. Usually that's where the questions end, because when you have a GED in community college, like most people are just impressed that you're still alive. Well, like, here's the thing. After college, I went on to grad school, and now I'm a scientist. So when I tell them, like, oh, but now I'm a physicist, they don't believe me. They're just like, you're still on the drugs. And now you think you're a scientist. Good for you. By the way, the GED is, like, the easiest test I've ever taken. Like, you know there's an exam to see if you're mentally disabled? It's the same test. Like, there was a question that just asked, which of the following vehicles is used to travel to space? Is it A, a space shuttle? B, a bicycle? Or C, a school bus? Like, I'm not stupid. I watched PBS. It is a school bus. Specifically, a magical one. It's pretty much the only way to do science. PBS programming is great. It got me through the entire test because they had questions like, who's the main character in Hamlet? And I was like, Wishbone. And they asked, who's the first person to travel around the world? Carmen Sandiego. And then I left a little note that said, these answers were made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And by Juicy Juice.
Yes!
Okay, I should have known that the test was going to be easy when I walked in and it was just like all teenage pregnant girls. Because, no, I'm not saying they're stupid. They're just not good at multiple choice decisions. They're also really bad at true or false questions. You know, like, true or false, your boyfriend's going to love you forever. Everything's going to be just fine. True or false? I mentioned that I do science. It's really weird because nobody seems to understand the skill sets required to be a scientist. This woman came up to me with her 8-year-old daughter, and she was like, hey, watch this. And the kid rattled off like 400 digits of pi. And then the mom was like, she's going to be a promising scientist one day. And I was like, no, I think she has autism. But then the mom was like, wait, but she can do it backwards. And I was like, yeah, you're not helping her case. I didn't mean to burst her bubble. It's just like, you know, we have calculators. We don't need to memorize stuff like that. It's kind of difficult telling somebody that their daughter is obsolete. No, because, like, my calculator is solar-powered, and hers is food-powered. Just basic economics. Can't be going to Chuck E. Cheese every time I need to get some work done. Okay, the truth is, all right, I know a bunch of scientists with autism, and they're usually pretty damn good. I just didn't like how she was parading her daughter around like some kind of dog doing tricks. Because, like, my parents never did that. My parents never really bragged about me at all. They still love me, I think. It's just I was the youngest of 5 brothers, and all my siblings are, like, 10 and plus years older than me. So, like, I was a mistake, and some people forget about their mistakes. That was unnecessary. I have my own rim shots built in. That was, no, because, like, I remember I told my parents, like, oh, come to my graduation for college. And they were like, we didn't even know you were in college. Like, didn't you not graduate high school? And I was like, no, I have a GED. And they were like, oh, okay. Good for you. And I was giving them directions to the graduation ceremony, but all they heard was drugs, drugs, drugs. I'm Jewish. Some people would say it's like my most religious quality. It's pretty weird though, because I used to live down south, which, like, if you're a hands-on learner, the south is the place to learn about anti-Semitism. Okay, like, I met this one guy. He was the worst bigot I've ever encountered. Not because, like, he was, like, awful person, just because, like, he was terrible at being a bigot. Because normally they're like, oh, Jews control the banks. But this guy was like, it's raining outside. You know what that means. Jesus is mad at the Jews. And I was like, that's not how the weather works. And he was like, yep. When Jesus gets angry, he's sitting up in heaven. He just starts throwing down lightning bolts. And I was like, that is not Jesus. That is Zeus. And he was like, you better shut your mouth or Jesus will strike you down with his magical hammer. And I was like, that is Thor. And then he said, you better quit your blasphemy or Jesus will smite you just like he smited Mumra. And I was like, that is not even a god. That is the villain from Thundercats. I'm not even offended right now. I just want to see your Bible. I think somebody stuffed a comic book in there. But I had this roommate from Alabama, and his uncle was a skinhead, which I would have appreciated knowing before I moved in. But this is how he tells me. One day, I'm like playing video games, and he walks in and says, hey man, my family's coming to visit, is that cool? And I was like, yeah, I don't see why not, go away. And then he says, "Don't freak out, but my uncle has a tattoo of a swastika." So I was like, pause. "I'm sorry, did you just say your uncle has a tattoo of a swastika?" And he was like, "Yeah, man, don't freak out." And I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And he was like, "See, I knew you were going to freak out." And I said, "Yeah, my people tend to do that when we're around Nazis." And then he said, "It's not a big deal, all right, because he's got a lot of tattoos. Most of them, not swastikas." And I was like, "That is not how tattoos work. You can't cancel out something offensive with a bunch of regular things. Okay, like if I keep a dead person in my basement, that's bad. Doesn't matter how many alive people are down there." But then he was like, "No, man, my uncle's not a skinhead because he got this tattoo in prison." So I was like, "Why was he in prison?" And he says, "He killed a guy." So I was like, "Let's focus on that." "Should have been the first thing you said." And then he was like, "Come on, man, just let him stay a couple days. What would Jesus do?" And I was like, "Throw lightning bolts at Jews." It sucks, though, because I used to be very religious, and I'm not anymore, but there's like a lot of thought patterns you can't really escape. Like, to this day, my biggest turn-on is just a Christian girl covered in bacon.
I don't get it.
Are you... Really? No, it's cool, because the truth is my biggest turn-on is Christian girls covered in bacon who don't even know about Jews. So we can talk after I get off. All right, I think I'm done.
Yeah, Maddie Ludwig. Maddie, sit down. Once again, great set. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh,
thanks for having me.
I love you so much.
That was really, really great. Since you have a potential suitor in the crowd, let's make this quick.
Give out your phone number and get the fuck off the
stage.
We
learned last time that you were on the show is you have very active Twitter accounts. You're a very popular man on Twitter, but you don't use your name for any of them, so no one should follow you or try to find
you. I have my personal one. And it's
under 200
up.
Followers.
10 followers
there
this month.
That's a good,
are you
good
one of,
month.
Did you follow me?
Yeah, I did.
You did? I followed you back.
Oh, my God, I don't care. Okay, so... once again, very funny. You've shaved. I don't care. No one does. You're funny. That's all that matters.
Thank
that's
you.
Important.
Let's end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Wow, that was the longest interview yet.
I need you to pick a number
the
between 1 and 268.
I need to know why it's Maddie and not Maddie. Really?
Answer it.
Because my parents, they don't know spelling.
They don't know anything about vowels?
No, I can tell you exactly what happened.
All right.
Okay. No, my full name is Matis Yahoo.
Oh!
Which, for the bacon girl in the back...
He's also a Jew.
He is a Jewish person.
He's a Jew.
You're welcome.
All right, Maddie. Have you ever wished someone would die?
Oh, girl in the back, wait.
No, or have bad things happen to them? If so, who and why?
Don't say Hitler, because that's obvious. And someone else.
What? Wait, why do I only get one?
I know. It's hard when you hate
a lot. No, okay. I can kind of offshoot this. For a while, I had this list. It's kind of fucked up. I had this list anytime people would get upset at me that, like, someday when I'm, like, a huge billionaire, this is the list idea, is that I was going to offer them a job that was, like, super high paying, and they'd be, like, so pumped, and they'd get it, and then a week later, I would fire them. And that was how I, like, psychologically dealt with pain.
So in your brain, the best way to punish someone is to pay them for 1 week of work.
Yeah. So they still get paid.
Also severance package.
They still get money.
I mean, I follow the rules. I'm a good employee.
Can I tell you what I always think about when I'm rich and famous? Instead of thanking people when I'm accepting an award, I'm just going to list the people that I fucking hate on stage, like my mom. my dad, every ex-boyfriend.
You're talking yourself out of awards as you speak.
No. People are going to want to see that because nobody's like, oh, I'd like to thank God. It's like, oh, fuck God. No, come on. He's got enough of that. They want to hear about the people that I fucking hate and who, like, were naysayers, I think. No?
No.
Fuck you.
See, I made the list.
You're on the list.
Sweet.
Now, man.
I'm going to be on an award show soon.
I'm going to need all your names after the show.
Time for plugs.
There is a legitimate plug. A week from tomorrow, September 15th.
Saturday, September 15th.
What's the Mason Lodge called? The Sphinx?
The one on K?
Yeah.
On K and 13?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So I'm doing a show there.
Wait. What kind of show?
Comedy show.
Who's throwing
a
this?
A secret show?
Andy Heaton's the headliner. I'm featuring.
Who's the headliner?
Andy Heaton.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're going to do that. It's going to be awesome.
Wait, how did this... Yeah, it'll be a good show, but you're going to... You should go more for the Mason Lodge
part. I don't know,
Body.
Is this on Facebook? I'm having trouble
believing
you.
Okay,
this
is.
I just wasn't
invited. You're
playing
a Mason Lodge?
Yeah. It's super secret.
That's crazy. All right, well.
Wait, are ladies
obviously,
allowed?
You're very funny. Thank you so much for doing
this.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Madi Litluck, everybody. Madi. Yes, we do this in front of crowds across the country in a lot of different cities, but this also goes online, and sometimes I get interesting emails, and I got one this week, and I'll let him tell a story. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Marcos Rubios, everybody. Marcos, the stage is yours. Play him on, gentlemen. Marcos, it's so great to see you. Thanks for sending me that very nice email. May I ask why you sent that email?
See.
Okay. Marcos, why did you send that email?
You see, Brandon, this very important thing to tell you. You're very huge in Latin America.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes. You are massive in Latin America.
Wow.
Es un hombre muy sad all the time. Es un hombre with a guest, not very interesting.
Yeah.
So, you see, I'm a television executive.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And me English isn't very good.
I understand. Guys, don't laugh. Don't laugh. That's not very American of us.
But
to laugh.
I specialize.
It's actually really American of us to laugh.
I specialize in converting American television program to Latin American audience.
Oh, cool. So it's
specialize.
See, I could barely understand what you were just saying there. Yes. It's so authentic. Okay.
It's my specialty.
What are some of the... See, I don't watch a lot of Latin television, so I don't know...
I do.
...what you've done over there.
You have in America, you have Everybody Love Raymond. We have Everybody Love Ramon.
Okay.
So
you just changed it a little bit.
So, I mean, I like to... What I would like to do is to play you some clips.
Oh, you have clips? You brought clips. That's
very great.
I brought
clips. We're going to throw to clips.
We're going to throw to clips. Okay, here we go.
Of some of my most famous programs that I've converted to a Latin audience.
Okay.
And hopefully we can convert to me, Todos, whatever your show is, to Spanish.
Oh, okay, good.
So
Marcos Rubios, what is the first clip that we're going to throw to?
So the first show that I ever adopted for in a Spanish audience is, the show Match.
MASH!
Yes.
MASH.
About Vietnam, the show Match con Alan Alda.
Okay.
See?
Okay. So
let's throw it to a clip.
Throwing to the clip, here's Match.
Hola, yo soy Alan Alda. Oye, Alan, I stepped on a fucking landmine. Mi pierna, bro, mi pierna. Alan, I've been in the cheat for too long, man. I got napalm in my veins, bro. War is hell, bro. Es un horror, man. Es un horror.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
you know what I liked about your
match? It's a very good. We got great ratings.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I
don't know what country I am from right now. Some like the Middle East,
sometimes
but I'm
Russia.
Latin, I assure
sometimes
you.
Sometimes Russia, sometimes.
Well, you know what's interesting about...
Brandon, who is this?
That's my co-host, John Tisdale.
This is your puta. Oh.
Yep. Puta.
You see, in Latin America, we are ladies, they not talk, but they have con pechos más grandes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. But yes. We're an audio show. So we need the co-host to talk.
No.
So since this is audio show, can you do a voiceover for the Spanish parts of my clips?
Of course.
Okay, great,
we'll make those English.
So the next show that...
You have more? Oh, this is
I
great.
I have more shows.
Great. What is the next clip,
So there
Marcos
is a
Rubius?
Show in Nueva York called this Seinfeld. And
Seinfeld. You have Seinfeld.
And we change it for a Latin audience. We called it Judios.
What does that mean?
It means Jews.
Oh, okay. So Seinfeld is now called Jews.
Yes.
Okay, do you have a clip?
Yes, let's...
Ladies and gentlemen, stop laughing at him, please. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a clip from... You could say the name.
Judios. Oh,
here we go.
Yo, Carol, sopa. No sopa para tu. I cannot see sopa.
That was a classic clip from Not America's Seinfeld, starring the soup Nazi.
Es un Nazi sopa.
Yeah. Did that do well in the ratings over there?
Oh, it did not do very well at all.
Oh, no, they don't like...
We don't get it. They talk so much. Why the Jews never stop talking? What's the problem? It's a blah, 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 blah. It's a show about nothing. It's about
nada.
Nada. It's about nada.
See, I'm getting it. I'm
speaking English. Oh, you...
Un poquito. Español.
Mas?
No.
You have a Rosetta Stone?
Sometimes I like to learn...
This is a perfect Spanish.
I know. I...
I close my eyes. I say, I must be sitting across from Julio Iglesias. Someone like that.
Do you have another clip?
Yes, we have a...
We have
a show, El Negro Fresco de Bel Air. Which means the fresh black from Bel Air.
Here's a clip from the show. We're going to throw the clip now.
Teofil! Which means, for the English audience, it means Uncle Phil!
Really quick, I want to point out to the... These clips, there's visuals here, so the listener at home...
Sí.
You, in your Spanish version, he's also wearing the inside-out sport coat. You kept it original. You don't really play around with... You have the exact same sets, exact same costumes.
Sí, Carlton es muy pequeño and patético. Yes, one more.
You have more clip. Okay, uno more.
So
mas.
In America,
mas uno.
In
mas.
Estados Unidos, there is a show. It's very popular. It's called La Oficina. Sí.
Originally a British show.
Then,
I'm worldly. I go to Great Britain all the time for television. And then now it's an American show.
Okay.
It's a United States of America show.
Sí.
And now what you've done is made it a Latin America show.
Sí, for los Latinos.
Sí,
los
sí.
Latinos.
Sí, sí, los Latinos. Here we go.
Okay, now the classic Office theme song comes on. Uno, dos, tres. Oye, oye, Jaime, ¿dónde es mi stapler? Oye, Dwight, el stapler está en un gelatina. Jaime, what the fuck, man? Por qué tu always do pranks on me? Oh yeah, Dwight. You're sorry. Easy scene.
The Office, ladies and gentlemen.
See, see.
Marcos, I think you're doing a great gift for the arts by bringing these shows and making them more international.
Yes, I can be your hero, baby.
Marcos Rubios, what do you have in mind for You, Me, Them, Everybody?
So, we need to change it up a bit,
how so?
Perhaps.
How so? How do we change the show up?
Perhaps instead of this band, we have like a famous band from Latin America.
Okay.
Like Incubus, maybe.
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I like Rage Against the Machine.
Machine. And then we have a fat person.
Okay.
Have like a pranks.
Okay.
And we have like gigantic Saturdays.
Sábado gigante. You want to have a giant day of the week. You know what, Marcos? I think this could work. I know you're a busy man. You have a lot of other podcasts to go attend to.
I have to go on. You have heard this man. You call lock the gates. Lock the gates.
He's always locking the gates.
Mark Maron.
Marcus Marons.
See, Mark Maron.
He locks gates. You're gonna. Do you have a beef with him?
Yes, we have problems from our early days. We have to work out.
I wish you both the best of luck. I know you guys have had a lot of problems with drugs and ex-wives and everything.
See, we did hung out at Luna Lounge back in the day. It was me, Sarah Silverman, and it's you know, a lot of drama. We gotta bring it up.
I understand.
And work it out, and then he's gonna say, "Are we good?" And I say, "Yeah, we good.
See, we good." That's nice. Well, before you leave,
this character has been improving and being worse. Do a question.
We'll see. All right, here's a question from the Kids Book of Question. Marcos Rubios, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 268.
Dos.
There you go.
Sí.
Question dos. Do you think boys or girls have it easier?
Oh, well, it's obvious that men have it a lot harder than women. See, if a woman has con pechos más grandes, then everyone, you know, put down the coat for her when she walk on the street. But if a man have a balls very big, giant pelotas, it's difficult to walk.
It's true.
So if you have big boobs, it's easy. If you have big balls, it's difficult.
Difficile.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you a safe flight back. Put your hands together.
Gracias.
For Latin America's Marcos Rubios. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Jason Mendelsohn, everybody. Jason!
Hey, thanks, everybody. So I'm going to play some Metro songs. Writing songs, one for each station in the fucking Metro that's not going to be working the night of the CD release party. Fucking Metro. So it's at the Electric Maid tomorrow at 7, and Zia Hassan is playing, and Harris Face Band is going to play, and it's going to be totally cool. Here's a song I wrote with Robinson Lee Earl for East Falls Church. Well, the train side us behind, like a fragrant orange rind in the bend. Looking back, I suppose I appeared undercomposed in tattered thrift store clothes, but still too young to know for what purpose. Travel slow through the air as we go, drawing closer we can share the glow. Baby, don't you know, as sure as these falls flow, I feel my longing for you grow. I just don't know. The question, it would seem, is how to remain unseen, how to slip behind the screen while my parents watch TV. God, I'm nervous. Now she's sitting on my bed, quoting books I haven't read, while I act interested, but my hands are made of lead. How do I touch her? Traveled slow through the air as we go, drawing closer we can share the glow. Baby, don't you know, as sure as east falls flow, I feel my longing for you grow. I just don't know. Yeah, East Falls Church. All right, so this is a song on the new CD, which is Volume 3, Red Handed, and this is Rockville. Shining F-16 touching down on I-270. There's no time to head for the hills. Get to Glenview Mansion with your cyanide pills. These are nothing like the friendly skies. We are just your standard friendly neighborhood spies. There's a cold war on, you know. This is gonna be one fabulous show. Three Creeks and the B&O. The future is calling, the future is here. Sushi Domo and the cinema show. I might waste another year if they tear down the mall and let me back in the cabinet. Mark my words, you don't know the half of it. 1984, let's take another crack at it. Arthur Nelson in the 18th century got his land patents and restarted the history. If you don't count the indigenous ancestry, no one ever counts the indigenous ancestry. Three Creeks and the B&O. The future is calling, the future is here. Sushi Domo and the cinema show. I might waste another year if they tear down the mall and let me back in the cabinet. Mark my words, you don't know the half of it. 1984, let's take another crack at it. Rockville.
The future is calling, the future is here. Sushi Dom or the cinema show. I might waste another year if they tear down the mall and let me back in the cabin. Mark my words, you don't know the half of it. 1984, let's take another crack at it.
Hey, thanks.
Buildings whizzing by. There's not a single cloud in the sky. We approach the platform at Braddock Road. Braddock Road, there's a place you can buy a guitar. Braddock Road, there's a shop where the cheese steaks are long as your arm. Braddock Road is a nifty place you can park your car. But you had better get there by noon on Sunday, or you won't get too far. The advertising calls to me. Move in now, get the first month free. Starting in the low 750s. The best things in life aren't free. We approach the platform at Braddock Road. Braddock Road, there's a place you can buy a guitar. Braddock Road, there's a shop where the cheese steaks are long as your arm. Braddock Road, your car. You better get there by noon on Sunday, or you won't get too far. The tunnel ringing in my ears, and suddenly the blue appears. I see the buildings whizzing by. There's not a single cloud in the sky. Sister at Braddock Road. Meet me on the platform at Braddock Road.